This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
So welcome back to the Fearless Presentations Podcast. This is Doug Stannert. I'm the CEO of Fearless Presentations. And I know what some of you are thinking because I've received emails from quite a few of you over the last, really the couple of weeks, and where you guys were saying, hey, are you done with the podcast? Because we've taken kind of a little break. And the little break wasn't intentional. Actually, we intentionally took a little break right around the holidays. And you know, because that's the office kind of shuts down. We don't do a whole lot of classes or anything during that time period. So that's really about the only time that we have to kind of take a break. Interestingly enough, though, we've had such a dramatic growth in business over the last, really over the last 6 months, but a couple of years, really, that we've had to expand into a much bigger office. And so we were doing that transition over. The new office has a recording studio. And so this will actually be the last podcast that we do here at the old office. The new office has just opened up in the last week or so. And so we're moving all the recording equipment and everything over. So the next few podcasts, and you'll start to see us doing Facebook Live and online seminars and stuff like that from our new office. So pretty excited about all that stuff that's happening. So for those of you who've been saying, God, I really enjoy your podcast and I want you to come back. Well, we didn't really go away. We just kind of took a little break while we were transitioning from one location to the other. Today's podcast or this week's podcast is actually going to be hopefully very helpful. It's something that I've kind of noticed over the last few months of doing a number of in-house classes or custom programs for a few of our clients. A big challenge that a lot of companies have is how do you teach somebody a step-by-step process? We've talked in the past about how to design a presentation focused on just a few key concepts. But what if you have a step-by-step process that takes, 32 steps? How do you teach that in a way that people will actually remember it? And so we've actually created a system that will help. It'll get you a little bit better results than, probably what you're experiencing right now. We also have a new tech find, which is kind of cool. One of the playlists on TED Talks can be very effective. So hopefully you'll get some great value out of this session of the podcast. And just so you know, we are sponsored by fearlesspresentations.com, the Fearless Presentations website, the two-day training program that we teach all over the United States, Canada, Europe, and cities really all over the world. We've got a number of those classes coming up in March. There's only one class left in February. That's Philadelphia. It's actually full. So if you're looking to go into that Philadelphia class, it's actually full now. So you might have to go to the next one unless we have somebody can drop out, which, sometimes happens. But we've got classes coming up in March in Charlotte, in Minneapolis, Nashville, Houston, it looks like St. Louis, San Francisco, Denver. So a number of different cities all over the United States. So if you're interested in attending any of the Fearless Presentations classes at any of those cities, make sure and take a look at our website very, very quickly because those classes are filling up now. The website again is fearlesspresentations.com. So let's start the podcast this week with this week's Tech Find. So this week's Tech Find is actually a little bit different than some of the other Tech Finds that we've done in the past. Most of the time when we're identifying something that's technologically going to help us give our presentations better, usually we're looking for some type of technology, some type of equipment or an app on an iPhone or something like that. Well, what this week we're going to focus on more educational type things. And in fact, I'm a big fan of TED Talks. TED Talks are, and I think probably anybody in the speaking business I think we all are kind of consistent that we love to kind of go and just peruse on TED Talks every now and then. The neat thing about those is that they're very compact pieces of information where you can share ideas very quickly and very easily with a vast audience. And that's why they're really so powerful. And that's why they're kind of fun. But what the folks at TED Talks have done is they created a playlist on their website that have just information about how to be a better speaker. And so, in fact, it's kind of hard to find this playlist, but if you just go to Google and you type in before public speaking TED Talks, you know, those five words, then you'll actually come up with a playlist. And that playlist is actually pretty cool. It's got about, I think it's got 8 or 9, maybe 10 different videos. Each one of the videos are maybe 10 minutes long. And it's a variety of ideas on how to do presentations better. So basically TED Talks about how to do TED Talks. A lot of it is, and they're really fun and very interesting. I got to say that typically when I get on TED Talks website, because there's so much there, it's very easy to lose a lot of time. That's why a playlist like this can be very helpful. But the neat thing about it is that it's very concise on a specific topic. And so if you kind of focus on a playlist for the things that you're most interested in, it can really help. So TED Talks, the TED Talks about how to do TED Talks, TED Talks again, it's before public speaking on the TED Talks website, is a great technology find this week.
Tech Find, high-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
So today's hot topic is how to design a presentation or a training program that will teach an entire process without boring the heck out of people. Mainly, I kind of tell you the reason why this kind of came to mind is one of my clients is the company that makes the Da Vinci surgical robots, which is it's a really cool company to work for. These are the robots that go in and do different types of surgery inside the human body. So you can imagine that their trainers, the people that have to go in and teach folks how to use these robots and how to clean them and sterilize them and all those kind of important parts of the process, they have a lot of legal steps that they have to take. So basically, they have to teach them every single step in each one of those processes, and they have to do it in a way to where they are training the person who's going to be using this equipment, but also they have to do it in a way that's kind of covers their butts legally too, you know. So it's kind of twofold. It's not just helping the person who's going to be using the robots use the robots more effectively, but also, you know, there are legal ramifications if they don't do it properly. So now, by the way, the folks who were in the classes that I taught for the company were phenomenal. They were fantastic speakers already. So it was really nice working for a company that already had really good speakers, but was willing to invest in helping their speakers become even better, because the company knows that the better that their folks are at training, at teaching, the more effective the folks using the robots are going to be. So it made it kind of fun. But here's the challenge. If you go back and just kind of as a review to some of the stuff that we've covered on earlier podcasts, one of the things that I've taught very early on was that in most audiences, if you're covering a list of items, folks are only going to remember about 3, 4, 5 things that you say anyway. So if you're covering 15, 20, 32, 152 steps in a process, there's a good chance that most people in that audience are going to forget what you've said. And so that makes it a big challenge when we're legally required to cover a bunch of steps. And it also makes it hard to kind of keep the training interesting and keep it fun throughout the entire process. So I'll kind of share with you what I shared with them, some of the things that I offered to them that would make their training programs a little bit more effective and make them more interesting. And hopefully you'll get some good value out of it as well. So just to kind of continue back on the review, though, we talked about how if you design your training programs with only 3, 4, 5 key concepts in mind, and you cover that in a very effective way, then the retention is going to go through the roof. The retention will be much higher than if you cover 10, 15, 20 things. So if you kind of keep that in mind when you're designing your training programs that have a lot of steps, it makes it a whole lot easier. So basically what I kind of shared with this group was the same thing that I'll share with you and the same thing that we do in our Fearless Presentations classes. For instance, let's say if I had an hour to teach somebody how to be a better public speaker, I'm probably not going to cover every single thing that I would cover in my 2-day class. You know, we can cover a bunch of content in the full two-day Fearless Presentations class. But when that gets trimmed down to only an hour, I can't cover all that. If I tried to cover all that, it would be pretty boring too. Now, I could cover all the content, but I wouldn't be able to give the background. I wouldn't be able to help people kind of use that content effectively. So when you're designing your training programs and you got a short period of time, you may not be able to cover every single thing in the step-by-step process. What you may want to do instead is help the people in your audience kind of master the component parts. Make your presentation about the component part, not about the entire activity. So for instance, going back to the folks that were working for DaVinci, you know, like for instance, one of the things that they figured out early on was that if they broke down the step-by-step process, which if I remember right, there were about 36 different stages or steps that they would need to do effectively in order to sterilize the robots after use. And if they try to cover all 36 of those in a step-by-step process in a 30-minute workshop or a 45-minute workshop or an hour, even if they have an hour, if you think about it, if there's 36 steps, that's still only 1 or 2 minutes for each step, you know, so that's a lot for somebody to absorb. So what they figured out early on that they could do and make the training more effective is to break it down into component parts. So there are three stages, you know, there's the pre-clean, and then there's the cleaning process, and then sterilizing it at the end. And by breaking it down that way, they could now spend 30 or 45 minutes on each one of those stages, cover just a few of those steps, you know, 10 or 12 of those steps, and makes it a whole lot easier. And so you can kind of continue to do the same thing. That 12 steps is still quite a few for somebody to remember, but there are different things that you can do. If you do have that many stages or that many steps in your process, there are a few things that you can do to increase the retention. For instance, one of the things that they had done, which was great, which was phenomenal, is they had an app created with different videos for each one of the stages. So if there were 12 processes or 12 steps in that process, then they had a little 1 minute video or 2 minute video for each one of those steps. So they didn't have to, as a class, kind of go through and watch every one of those videos. They could give a quick overview and then refer the audience to the videos to get more, get additional information. So basically, they could kind of do it that way, to where it was something that they could take with them. They could watch those videos over and over and over again and get a very clear understanding of what each one of those steps are, and it makes it a whole lot easier. The stories and examples that you use can also be very effective, and that's one of the things that we focused a lot on in the classes that I taught with these folks, is that the more that you can take a concept or a process and turn it into a story or a real life example of somebody else using that process and why the different steps in the process are so important, the easier it is for the audience to kind of understand each one of those stages or each one of those steps. And one of the first questions I got when I kind of introduced that concept to the group was, they were saying, "You'll be able to have a story for every one of these 12 steps in the first stage?" And I was like, well, no. I mean, you can tell one story. If there are four steps, four phases in the process that kind of they're pretty much almost doing at the same time, tell one quick example about those four steps and why those four steps are important. And if you break it down into bite-sized pieces like that, it makes it a whole lot easier. So, you know, we know that we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a Pollyanna society where every single thing that we're going to try to teach a group is going to be in a specific linear step-by-step process where we can break it down into 3 points or 5 points or whatever to make it more understandable for the group. So what we have to do is we have to do our best to make the concepts or the ideas or the content that we're delivering to the audience more effective and easier for them to implement that content and retain it. So the final thing that you can do to really help in these kind of situations is give them a leave behind. Give them something that they can refer to after you leave. The more steps or the more stages in a process, the more important it is to leave them reference material afterwards. And one of the things that this company had done that worked really well was they just had a poster. Since these were robots that were going to be used in hospitals or operating rooms or sanitization, you know, places in the hospital, that kind of thing. They can put a poster up on the wall with those different 13 steps of the sanitation process and with pictures so that people can follow it in a step-by-step fashion. So basically by teaching the concepts and then using the poster as a way to kind of be able to reference that makes it a whole lot easier. So when you're designing your programs, when you're designing your training, you really want to kind of take into account how the audience is going to receive that information and how effective they're going to be at retaining that information. So if we just go in an hour and try to cover 36 different stages, they're going to forget most of it. So again, just break it down into component pieces. I'll give you an idea of how we do this in Fearless Presentation. So I kind of mentioned earlier that if I took the entire two-day Fearless Presentations class and jammed it into an hour, I could give you some really good content. In fact, I can deliver it in such a way that it will be interesting because I think I'm a pretty decent speaker, you know, so I could probably give you some examples and make it fun and make it interactive and you'd get good content. The problem though is that when we give that much content in that short of a period of time, it's not going to be as practical. So people walking out of that room are not going to feel as comfortable using that information as if we had kind of covered just a few concepts and spent more time on them. And so what we do in the Fearless Presentations class is when I first designed the two-day public speaking class, I said, okay, what's the number one most important thing that people will go to a public speaking class for? And the number one most important thing that I could come up with, or the thing that we came up with from surveys and that kind of thing, was people want to reduce that nervousness, that fear, that self-consciousness. And so since that was number one, that was the most important thing, we designed a pretty much kind of a half-day workshop around how to reduce public speaking fear. We broke that into three component parts, and we spent an hour on each one of those first three component parts. So in each one, so basically we're spending from the time somebody walks into the Fearless Presentations class at 9 o'clock in the morning until the time that we kind of break for lunch, we're covering three different concepts and we're taking a break in between. So we'll spend about an hour on the first concept and we'll let them practice that and master it so that they feel more comfortable. And then we'll take a break, let them internalize it a little bit, then we'll come back and teach something else. And so by doing this in a step-by-step process and by focusing more training time on fewer concepts and letting people master those, by the time that we finish the first half day, folks are feeling a whole lot more comfortable with the concepts because they've actually done it. They've been able to experience it. And if you use the same type of process or the same type of concept when you are designing your training programs, you'll get a pretty decent result. So instead of trying to cover, like I said, the 36 different components, give them an overview and then break it down to what are the most important things. So what we did in the couple of classes that I taught for DaVinci was we said, okay, what's the, out of all the different stages that we go through, that somebody will go through when they're sterilizing one of these machines, what's the biggest challenge that they'll have, or where do people screw up most? You know, for instance, they could go back, by the way, and look at the returns on the machines, you know, where a lens was scratched or something like that, and they can pretty much figure out by doing just a little bit of research where that came from. How did that lens get scratched? What was it in the cleaning process that caused that to get scratched? And since they know that now, they can spend, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes in the training programs focusing on how to avoid that particular problem. If they know it's happened at least once and it's happened multiple times in other hospitals, then why not cover that as a concept? So instead of trying to cover all 36 things, you know, focus on something that's really, really important to the group that you're presenting to. Again, realizing that they still have the backup content, they still have the videos, they still have the app, they still have the posters, they still have a manual that takes them through the step-by-step process so that we're covered legally. Let's focus our training on the things that are going to help people solve the problems, help the folks that are actually using the equipment solve the problems. And so when you're designing your training programs, it's a good idea to kind of think about, what is it that my audience really wants? What do they need? What kind of problems are they having? And instead of going through every single step, teach them how they can solve those problems. The neat thing about designing your programs that way is that you will likely get in the discussion at the end, you'll get people asking you questions about the process, and then you can go through in more detail about the process and kind of teach them about those kind of things as well. So it makes it a whole lot more fun, a whole lot more interesting, a whole lot more interactive if the content that we're focusing on is really audience focused, and if we're taking the content and breaking it down into component parts and letting people master it. So I would encourage you to do that with your training programs or with your step-by-step process. Instead of trying to go through every single step in the process, then kind of break it down and cover a little bit at a time and cover those component parts in more detail, and you'll get much, 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 much better results. So just real quick before we end, and because I know if I just ended right there, I'd get a bunch of emails from folks saying, well, wait a minute, but I can't change it. We have to cover 32 steps. We have to. It's important. It's, you know, legally we can't make any changes. If you're in that situation where somebody gives you a slide deck or something like that and says, hey, you have to cover, these are 36 slides that you have to cover, well, you can still do that and make it more interesting. But what you'll do in that kind of situation is you'll think about the audience that you're presenting that particular slide deck to at the time. Because every time you go to a different audience, if you're presenting that same slide deck, there's a good chance that the challenges or problems that each one of these audiences are having are going to be slightly different. So do a little bit of research before you actually go into the room and say, okay, I'm going to cover a lot of content here, but out of this content, what is the most important part? What are the most important components? What are you guys having trouble with before you actually walk in? And then when you get to those slides in the slide deck, you can spend more time on those things. You know, you don't necessarily have to cover the same exact amount of time on every single slide in your slide deck. You can focus more on the things that are most important to the folks who are in the audience. So you can kind of change things around that way. In fact, one of the things that we kind of poke fun at this a little bit and actually teach it at the same time on the second day of the Fearless Presentations class, we have already spent, by that point, we spent about a day and a half showing people how to design really, really effective presentations. And then about halfway through the second day, we give them, you know, and basically in the first parts of the Fearless Presentations class, we're saying, hey, only cover just a few items at a time. Just cover 3, 4, 5 things and cover that really, really well. Your audience will like you a whole lot more. It'll be easier for you to deliver those presentations. And then we take a break and we come back and we show them how to do a 10-point talk, you know, how to cover 10 different items in a very short period of time, usually about 20 or 30 minutes or less. And the technique that we use there in that situation is we go through all 10 items, but we zoom through them. We kind of do them in a real cursory fashion. We go boom, 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 and go through each one of the 10 items. And then we'll come back to a few of them and cover a few of those items in more detail. Guess how many we're going to cover in more detail? Yeah, if you've been listening to the podcast a while, you'll probably guess that pretty quickly. About 3, maybe 4 at the most, maybe 5 if we have the time. But for the most part, we're going to cover those 10 items in a cursory fashion, then go back and cover 3 in more detail. What's interesting though is that the instructor has the ability to really gauge the audience, the people who are in the class at that moment, and find out what kind of challenges that they're dealing with, what type of presentations that they deliver, what kind of background that each one of them has. So it's often happens in the delivery of that 10-point talk, those 10 impact ideas, where the instructor will on the fly adjust which ones of those 3 that he or she will cover in more detail based on what the audience really needs at that time. So we've had folks that have actually gone through the 2-day Fearless Presentations class once, gone through and said, oh my God, that was awesome. And then they come back like a year later or 2 years later. And it's funny because sometimes they'll say, God, it's like a whole new class. And probably the reason why is because that instructor, those instructors that they've had, are adjusting the content based on what the person who's going through the class needs at that moment. And when you can really do that, that's a really elite high level of presentation skill, but it's something that you can master in a very short period of time if you kind of go through the concepts that we're covering here on this particular podcast. So when you have that step-by-step process, when you have a lot of content that you have to cover, you know, basically just kind of use that as a guideline and it'll make you a much, much better presenter. So just kind of in review, the first thing that you want to do is if you have a lot of steps that you need to cover, it's best, instead of covering every single thing in one sitting, to break it down into component parts and cover a few of those component parts in more detail, take a break, then come back and cover a few more points, and then take a break and come back. Or if you're going to be working with a group over a period of time, you might, you know, if you're coming back every month or every 6 months or every year, you know, every time you come back, you can cover some other component part of that process in a little bit more detail. Step two is to use the things around you to help you reinforce that content, like the stories, the examples, the posters, the props, samples, videos, any of those kind of things that you can leave behind after you give the presentation can reinforce that content and make it easier for the audience to remember what it was that you were talking about. And then thirdly, if by some reason you have to deliver every single one of those steps and you have a very short period of time, cover all those steps quickly, then go back and cover a few of them in more detail so that you can reinforce the things that are most important to the audience at that time. And if you kind of follow those kind of guidelines, you'll most likely give much, much better presentations, even if you have a lot of content that you need to cover. So hopefully it's been some pretty valuable information for you. We'll be delivering quite a few more podcasts in the very near future. Once we get moved into the new office with all the new recording equipment, which we're so excited about, we'll start delivering these on probably even a more frequent basis. The other thing that we've been working on for the last really 30 days or so is a whole lot of new content. We've been doing a lot of surveys with the audience to kind of find out what are the things that folks are most needing right now in the area of presentation skills, public speaking, leadership development, sales skills, those kind of things. And so we're going to be putting out a whole lot more content. So we'll have a whole lot more like online courses and webinars and Facebook Live and all kinds of different things that should be coming out in the next few weeks. So stay tuned. Make sure and join us or like our Facebook page. It's fearless, facebook.com/fearlesspresentations. Go onto our website. Make sure that you're requesting information from us. That'll put you on our mailing list so that we can kind of let you know when classes are coming up in your area and those kind of things as well. So
subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.